Well, Ronnie and Gina have had COVID, and now Ryan has it, and the kids. And let's just pray that Kara doesn't get it in her health condition and her dad. And so Abraham and Isaac are not here, so today you get Bozo, okay? But I want to introduce a friend to you, a dear friend. It's a member of this church. Some of you know him, some of you don't. John Hill. And John was a student at a Christian college. And one of our students went out one summer to be a youth director. John had gone to this Christian college on a basketball scholarship. His coach was killed after his first year, was killed in an automobile accident. John didn't know exactly what to do, and when he met this student from OU and they were sharing about quiet time and scripture memory, he thought, I grew more this summer than I did to Christian college. I want to go where he came from OU. So John came, played some baseball here, and became and worked with a football team. When he graduated, he worked for 5 years with Phillips Petroleum, and then God laid on his heart, called him to be a coach, and he coached for 30 years. And it's amazing what God is doing with his life. On the campus, most of the students don't know his name. Everybody just calls him Coach. And so, Coach, come share with us.
Andy, I wanted to thank you. I was saved at age 13 at a revival in Phillips, Texas. And the song that was during that invitation was Just As I Am. It was just great to remember that. What a blessing. They do call me Coach. And I don't know if I ever feel more special than when I hear that word. Even my grandkids call me Coach. And when she comes in, Coach, are you getting ready to pray? I said, yes, because when I'm home, Max calls and we pray. And she'll stick around and listen for a while, then leave and come back and listen. And I'm not going to tell you a lot about what was before all that, but before I came here, every night I'd pray because I knew it was time for a change in my life. I was 64. Most people are moving back to where their families are. But I felt God calling me to leave my family. My daughter loves me. She cares so much. And she made me way too involved in the raising of the kids. That every once in a while, my grandkids slipped and called me Dad. So I knew that I needed to leave and let them raise their kids. And I'd come back and visit. So every night, I'd be in my little recliner, and she'd crawl up in my lap, and we'd pray. And on a Tuesday night, about 9 o'clock, my phone starts ringing. It was on a vibrator. I looked down, it's Max Barnett. And it was at least 10 years since I'd even heard from Max Barnett or I'd contacted him. And he, enthusiastic as always, wanted to know, what are you doing? I said, well, really, not much. Well, come to OU and make disciples of athletes. And I said, okay. And he got quiet and said, aren't you going to pray about it? I said, Max, I was just now praying about what God wanted me to do, and you interrupted it. So I think it's, and 3 days later, I was here. I would work during the early part of the week, go back. I had certain responsibilities in Lubbock at that time. But November 1st, I came here to work with athletes. It was nothing like I experienced back in 1976. The dorms were locked. You had a fingerprint to get in. You just didn't go in the dorms anymore. I couldn't stand outside the dorms and pick them off because they thought I'm a crazy man. So I was really just didn't have any other option than to pray. And God did some wonderful things. But in March of 2020, the school shut down. God had opened up all these doors. Max had gone to FCA with me a couple of times and saw all the relationships that had been developed. And he called me one day and said, "Would you like to pray?" And I don't know if we set an hour as a time, but we began this. In those first few days, we prayed an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it seemed like no time. And I'd never done that. So since that time, in the middle of March, till now, we've only missed one day that we've prayed together. And I don't say that to brag or do anything else, because just as I am is how I come every day. There's not one person sitting in this auditorium or this gym, and I'm used to speaking in gyms, that is any different than I am. There's nothing special about me, not one thing. I want to be teachable. I desperately want to be God's man from head to foot. I long to do what he wants me to do. And I always come, always prepared to take notes. And I say that because Ryan shared a tremendous sermon last Sunday. I was touched by it. And I spent 4 pages writing it as he did it. And I went back over to this morning. He talked about 4 essentials of prayer, of Jonah's prayer. So there's not one person in here that's any different than me. I was lost. I am as normal. My body's made of dust. And the older I get, the more I believe it. I'll be 69 next month. And it bothered me a little bit. Carol Ann opened the door for me when I was coming in, and I'm used to opening the door for them, and got my attention. Then I was trying to get a chair up here for Max, and then I had all of them up there trying to help me get that chair up there. So I thought, maybe I am starting to look a little old. But when that pandemic hit, right before it hit, I was at a baseball game, and I walked in the 6th inning. I'd been over to softball. It was the bottom of the 6th. The shortstop for OU was up, and he looked so, so discouraged. His body language, his face, he was in anguish. He was hurting. So I said, "I'm going to pray for this guy the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings." So I did that. I don't remember much that happened in the baseball game, but the next day, I used to just go in the first day I'd ever done this, I'd go in the BCM building. They got these tables about 8 people sit in, and I sit down at one of them, and they made fun of me because I got their names, and they said, "Now repeat them." I got through about 2 of them, and that's all I remember. So we went through that, but then I got serious, and I shared that story about praying for that baseball player. And this girl, name was Haley, just was crying. And I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "That's my boyfriend." So in all our praying for athletes and how God orchestrates our life and introduces us, that girl's going, she's going to be in STUMO, but she's going to be in full-time ministry in Edmond, Oklahoma. We go to lunch once every month with Jesse and Emily. And Jesse was at that same table, and I didn't even remember her. A couple of weeks later, I walk in, and Jesse says, "Hey, coach." I didn't have a clue who she was. But I sat down there and I said, "My daughter's name is Jessie." And so that made me remember it. But she started sharing her testimony. 7, 8, 9 years old, she was sexually abused by her parents' best friend. She told me she was saved when she was 15. And if that girl walked up here now, you'd think, beautiful countenance. She's engaged to be married. Just such a wonderful person. She told her parents when she was 20. And she was a counselor at a Christian camp in the summer. when she saw me first week of school, she said, I got something to tell you. You know how we've prayed? I said, yes. Well, she was asked, she's from the Fort Worth area, to be on a podcast and share her story. And she shared it completely. 2 days later, the guy that had abused her called her and said, I heard your podcast. And I got down on my knees and asked Jesus Christ into my heart. So in all the praying, God has opened doors. I get to go to basketball practices, softball, baseball, men and women's basketball, volleyball, gymnastics every day. That God has opened the door for so many. And you know, there's a football player from OU that's almost on every NFL player. There's 10 to 15 basketball players that are playing overseas. There's two soccer girls from Germany right now that I spend a little time with that I've talked to. Do you understand when you leave here, if you've been discipled, what you can do in Germany? And they're so hungry. And there's not one person in here that can't be a disciple maker. Invest in the lives of others. God has answered prayer after prayer after prayer. We had more people come to know the Lord at the BCM when we couldn't get out on campus than when we could. This semester that just ended, 45 to 46 have come to know the Lord. And that doesn't include all those other organizations. So I'm telling you, God has blessed my life, and there's not anyone in here that can't pay enough price to be a prayer warrior. I would encourage you to pray for me and those athletes at OU because they can change the world. So many of those are Christians when they come on campus. And they don't go to church. They're not reached by anyone. And as a result, most of the time, they just kind of fade away. That's why I love working with athletes. I was one. I've been a coach. I feel like God's prepared me and equipped me to do the job that I'm doing right now, and I hope I do it till I die. I hope I just get out of a group of guys, start walking my car, and just fall over dead. I'm ready for that to happen at any time, but I would encourage you to pray about what Max is going to share and what we've experienced, because we're just common men, just regular old people, that we've seen God do some great things. I would appreciate the prayers. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this place. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for Randy and Chris being here, but Ronnie and Ryan, their health, just your protection over all this disease. Because, Father, we know that our lives are in your hands when we trust you. So we just thank you that we can pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, John. You know, when we started praying, and now for 22 months, we've prayed every single day for at least an hour, missing only one day. At the end of that, we pray for the countries of the world, follow the world. We pray for every nation in the world. I don't know what all God does, but I know God has promised to answer prayer. And I could tell you more stories about John, but that player he began to pray for is batting less than 200. He began to hit. He began to have a great day. And John told the coaches one day, the baseball coaches, what he was doing, had prayed for him, how his life had changed. And the coaches said, wow, that's a good idea. Maybe we ought to pray for him instead of just yelling at him all the time. So God has done something. You know, why do we pray so little as Christians? Surveys have shown that the average Christian, even including pastors, pray less than 5 minutes a day. Why is it so hard for us to pray? Well, one thing is the flesh and the devil is so against it. Last thing they want us to do is to pray. And who, as a child, has not prayed that their dog wouldn't die and their dog died? Or maybe later as a teenager, the grandmother they loved and got sick and they prayed the grandmother wouldn't die and she died. Or later in life, it may have been a child that was ill and you prayed for that they wouldn't die and they died. And so a lot of people just come to the conclusion, well, it really doesn't make any difference. Maybe prayer works for some people, but it just doesn't work for me. And they give up. Now, sometimes we pray, and God says no. And you know, you look back and are so grateful that God said no. We know from Mark 15:36 that Jesus prayed, and he says, Abba, Father, a term of endearment. He is talking to his Father whom he loved. All things are possible with you. That's where he started. All things are possible with you. Remove this cup from me. He didn't want to have to go through the excruciating death on the cross and the carrying the sin of the world. And he said, Father, all things are possible with you. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. I am so glad God didn't answer that first prayer of Jesus. Because if he had, we would all be on our way to hell today for all eternity. Because God's plan was Jesus going to the cross so we could know him. You remember Paul in 2 Corinthians, how he prayed? And he said he had this thorn in the flesh. I don't know what the thorn was. Nobody else does for sure. But I know one thing. Thorns hurt. And Paul said, three times he prayed earnestly, Lord, remove the thorns. And God didn't. And then he wrote, because God said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul then said, therefore I will glory in my weaknesses, because then the power of strength, of God's strength, rests on me. Therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I am so glad God didn't answer Paul's prayer. And he told us now when we face difficult, painful times in life, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, in Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah said, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. But he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is a chaff to the wheat? And mainly what we may say may be chaff, but God's word is wheat. And then he goes on to say, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? And one of the things I pray today, that God's word will warm your heart, and that's what, and encourage you to pray. And have you ever seen a jackhammer, how it works? It just pecks away again and again and again and again. And God said, is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? And I pray that today, as I want to share with you a lot of verses about prayer. You know, one of the limitations of expository preaching is that any one passage you study doesn't say all there is to say about that subject. And today I hope that this hearing again and again and again will be like that jackhammer to break some of your cold hearts towards prayer. Because some of you would have to, if you were honest, and one of the things you never want to do, if you don't want to embarrass somebody, don't ever ask them how much time they spent praying. Because some of you know you're in that 5-minute area or maybe less. You know, I'm so glad. You know, sometime when we pray, God says no. Sometimes he says, wait. I want you to persist. And we know from Luke 11, Luke 18, both of the passages are about persistence in prayer. Keep on keeping on. If you believe something would honor God, you pray. And there's some things I began to pray for, and I said, God, I'm going to pray for this because I believe this would honor you. I'm going to continue to pray until you either answer or tell me that you're not going to do it. And I could tell you stories. We began to pray for a lodge out at the retreat center. And I said, God, I'm going to pray about this every day. I don't know how we can do it. We don't have the money. And one day a man called and said, what do you need at the retreat center? I said, we need a 20-bedroom lodge. He said, well, why don't you make a little brochure? And I got the money for the brochure and see if you can raise some money. We sent it to our alums. We got in about $8,000, which didn't surprise me because we tried to teach them when we left. You give to your church. You give to ministries that God lays on your heart. And one day he calls and says, come up here. He's got a builder with him. He says to the guy, have you ordered the furniture? I thought, we're not going to go in debt to build a building. He said, well, if we run out of money, we'll stop. Some way we got a 20-bedroom lodge. If he doesn't pay for it, I don't know who did. But I know one thing. You know what the primary emphasis of the Bible is about prayer? You know what the primary emphasis is? You ask, and I will answer. Now, we know there are limitations. But I am amazed at the boldness and the times Jesus says something about prayer that he doesn't give any limitation at all. Now we know, as Jeremiah said, in Jeremiah 59, 1 and 2, you know that there's times in life that we're asking, he says, is the Lord's hand limited that he cannot save, or is the ear heavy that he cannot hear? But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. And Proverbs tells us that sin will separate us from God, and he will not hear. God can hear, but our sins separate us. But there's an answer for that. If you'll confess your sins, he'll faithfully forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And we know that sometimes God wants us to persist. You keep on asking. Matthew 7, 7 through 11, he said, ask. And literally it's ask and keep on asking and you'll receive. Seek and keep on seeking and you'll find, and knock and keep on knocking. Everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and him that knocks it will be opened. And then he tells a story. What man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those that ask him? And in Romans 8:32, it tells us, he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? And God has promised to give us everything we need. And in Matthew 6, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupts. And at that day and time, in fact, is they've dug up some old coins in Israel, and now they're just rust. Because they'd bury their coins to hide them, and they'd rust. They measured their wealth with fine linens, and the moths took care of a lot of that. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Moth and rust, they would corrupt. Thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then he goes on to say, the people of the world, they are worried about what they're going to eat, or they're worried about where they're going to live, and all of these things. And Jesus says, God knows about all these things that you need even before you ask him. So you might think, well, if he knows, why ask him? Well, he used it exactly the opposite way. He knows what you need, so now ask him. And he promised to provide for us. And he said, make yourselves purses that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. And he said in Matthew 6:33 in that passage, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He promised to provide for us, and he promised to answer us when we pray. Now, another reason some people pray is they don't pray, they don't feel worthy. I know a man that came to Jesus one time, and he said, I have a servant that's laying home paralyzed, fearfully tormented. Jesus said, I'll come and hear him, heal him. He starts on his way, and the man says, oh, I'm not worthy for you come under my roof. Now, let me tell you, this man didn't feel worthy. A lot of times you don't feel worthy. He didn't feel worthy, but it didn't keep him from asking Jesus to come. And he said, Lord, you just say the word. I have a servant. I tell this one to go, and he goes, and this one come, he comes. I tell my slave, do this, and he does it. All you got to do is say the word, and he'll be healed. And Jesus said, I've not found that kind of faith in all Israel. And then he said to the man, be it done to you as you have believed. And immediately he was healed. And again and again and again and again in the scriptures, we see this. You know, the first thing that'll help you in your prayer life to realize you have a mighty God. If you don't start with that in mind, that we have such a mighty God with which, whom nothing is impossible, you will not pray very much. And you know, in Isaiah 44:24, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, I, the Lord, am the maker of all things. He said, I spread out the heavens by myself. He didn't need any help from anybody to spread out the heavens by himself. And he said, I made the earth all alone. He didn't need any of our help. We have the mighty God that can do anything. And you can begin to read. And you know, I encouraged all of you to read through the Bible. And some of these verses I've just come across. Some of them I memorized years ago. And by the way, when God says something to me and speaks to me through a verse, I don't ever forget it. Some people say, well, you quote verses. You have a mind that's, you just read something and got it, and I say, absolutely not. I remember meeting this guy one time, and I said, oh, it's good to meet you. And he said, meet me? You met me years ago. I was with so-and-so and spent the night in your home one night. I don't have a good memory, but I work at it every day I live. When God says something, I don't want to forget it. And I hope you will be that way. When God gives you a lesson, you will want to remember it. So I'm reading through the Bible. The other day I come to Genesis. You know, God promised Abraham and Sarah they'd have a baby. That was not possible, they said. And God said, is anything too difficult for God? Sarah laughed when God told her. Now, earlier, Abraham had laughed. But when she heard you're going to have a baby, she laughed. God says, anything too difficult for God? This time next year, you're going to have a baby. You know what? That time next year, she had a baby. You see it in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heaven and earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. 10 verses later, Jeremiah says, or the Lord says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Now, Jeremiah, you just said, I could do anything. Now, Jeremiah, do you really believe that? Is anything too difficult for me? And so all through the scriptures, you see this again and again and again. A man came to Jesus in Matthew 9. He had this demon-possessed boy. And Jesus said to him, how long has this been happening to him? He said, since childhood. It's often thrown him into the fire and the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have mercy on us and help us. So the man pleads with Jesus, if you can do anything, help us. Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And he healed that boy. And you see again and again, Matthew 17, 20. And some months ago, God spoke to me this verse, and I wanted to get it down. They brought a demon-possessed boy to Jesus, to the disciples. Jesus is up on the mountain. He came down. And the disciples can't cast it out. And they asked Jesus, why? He said, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have a faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. And nothing would be impossible to you. And later, remember when he tells a story about the fig tree? Jesus goes over, he's hungry. Just like you would be, because he was a man. He was hungry. He went to that fig bush. There were no figs on it. He could have said, bear figs, so he could eat. But he wanted to teach him a lesson. He cursed that fig tree. And Peter saw it, and he was amazed. He said, Lord, look, the fig tree is withered. And he said to him, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whatever you ask in faith believing, it will happen. And then he said this, just so you know, he's just not doing certain things with his disciples that don't apply to you. He said, whoever will ask me, and whatever you ask and pray for, that will I do. And so, again and again and again, we see in the scriptures how God answers prayer. And I just think, you know, in Proverbs 15:8, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. And God so delights in answering prayer. One day a man comes to Jesus. He says, my little daughter is dying. Will you come lay your hands on her and heal her? And Jesus starts off to go heal that child. And as he's going, a lady comes up and touches the hem of his garment. She had an issue of blood. She had been to all the doctors. None of them had helped her. She had gotten even worse. And she thought, if I can just touch a hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she did, and Jesus' new power went out from him. And he turned to her, this trembling, fearful lady. And he says, daughter, Be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And that faith she had in him healed her. Well, meantime, someone comes to that synagogue official who had asked Jesus to heal his daughter and said to him, "Your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher any longer." And Mark 5:36 said Jesus overheard what was being said and said to the man, "Don't be afraid any longer. Only believe." And Jesus went and healed that daughter. Again and again and again in the scriptures, we see that if we will believe, he will answer. You say, "Yeah, but how do I get this faith? I know God has promised again and again and again, if I would believe him, he would answer. But how do I get the faith to believe that?" Well, Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes by hearing." Hearing by the word of God. It's that word of God and knowing what God said that will encourage your faith. I'm reading along one day and I see when God said about Moses, 1 Kings 8:56, "There has not failed one word of God's good promise which he gave by his servant Moses." And I thought, "God, not one word that you promised Moses would fail. And God, I know whatever you promised me, anything you promised me would not fail." And that's why so many of these promises about prayer, he goes on to say, whoever will ask. In 1 John 5:14 and 15, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him." Now, I know that if we ask according to the will of God, and by the way, as John and I pray, we often say this, "Lord, we are asking this because we believe this would honor you. But Lord, if it would not, if it's not your will, we don't want it." I hope you've lived long enough to know that anything that's not the will of God is not good for you. And you know, just like God didn't answer the first prayer of Jesus, the first prayer of Paul about the thorns, I am so glad some of the things I've asked God for, God didn't do. I'm so glad I didn't get that first little girl I prayed about. Ooh, I am so glad I didn't marry her. And I see what I've got now, and God knew exactly what I needed, and he gave me exceedingly above what I could ask or think. And again and again, if it's not God's will, if it's not God's will, God doesn't want it. I believe my phone is ringing in my ear, so if you'll cut that thing off over there some way, it'll quit. And I am so glad that God doesn't do things that are not his will. And I can pray with that confidence. And this, "God, I'm going to ask this because I think it will honor you. But if it doesn't honor you, God, I don't want it." Now, I've tried to share with you again and again, and there are more verses that I'd like to share with you, but I don't have time. But I hope the jackhammer effect of hearing what God said would pierce some hearts. And now it's up to you. What are you going to do about what you've heard? You know, Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and acts upon them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Now notice, whoever hears these words of mine and acts upon them, that's your part. You've heard. It's your job to act upon them. What are you going to do? You could get a prayer partner. You know, it's helpful to me. I pray in my quiet time. And I do some private prayers, and John does that. And, as Ronnie shared with us, if it's worth thinking about, it's worth praying about. And, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. That is, you pray about everything. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't be anxious or don't be worried about anything. Just pray about everything. The Phillips translation says, pray about everything and don't forget to give God thanks when the answers come. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And Colossians 4, 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. You can't change anybody. You know what you can do by yourself is absolutely nothing. But you have a great God who promised to do things if you'd ask him. And so Jesus goes on to say, a wise man is who hears my word and acts upon him, and is like the wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And it did not fall because it was built upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them is like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Now it's up to you as to what you do about what you've heard. I want you to bow your head for a moment. I want you to spend some time thinking. I hope you husbands and wives pray together. But I hope you also have someone of your own sex. Is there someone that you could call and say, could we pray? John and I don't do FaceTime. He may be in his car. We've prayed sometime when we're in bed. We've prayed in all kinds of situations. We don't have to see each other, and we pray conversationally. In other words, you pray about a certain thing, and then I stop. And I let John, if he has something he wants to add about that. And then we'll introduce another topic and pray about it. Learn to pray conversationally. One of the worst things about being in a prayer meeting is some guy prays, and he prays about this, and he prays for missionary, and prays for church, and you're sitting there, and you'd like to pray about some of those things, but he's gone around the world. So let me encourage you to find a prayer partner. Find somebody who can pray with you, and then pray. Get time to pray. Nothing more important in this world that you can do. Then pray and believe God. Man came to Jesus. How can we do the work of God? This is the work of God, that you believe and believe in him whom he sent. And so our job is to pray. Maybe you're here today and you're not a believer and you're missing out on one of the greatest opportunities you'll ever have. And I want to say this to you young people, learn to pray now. You older people, you people that are retired, you've got time now. And I really believe that some of you, the most important, greatest ministries you'll ever have was when you're maybe at home, you can't get out, you can't do what you once did, but you can ask God to do something. And he promised he would. Promise after promise after promise. If we will pray, he will answer. And if it's not his will, we don't want it, and we tell him that. And God will do amazing things. Now take a moment. What will you do as a result of what you've heard? Father, it's a joy to our heart to know that you want us to pray Jesus Christ opened the way for us, and we go on his merit and not our own. And we come to our Father who loved us so much that he gave his only Son to die for us. And Father, you love us so much, and we want to get to know you. We want to read the Word because we know that's the way our faith is built. And when I read what you did for Abraham, what you did for Moses, what you did for Paul, what you did for those early Christians, and Father, I know you'll do something for me and for every person here. So God, I pray you would make us a praying church. We can have a ministry around the world if we will pray. God, sometimes we won't see the answers, but they'll be there. And Father, I remember just recently talking with the famous second baseman from the New York Yankees, and Bobby Richardson. And Billy Graham had asked him to go share his testimony. It was in Hawaii, and a guy sat in my office and said, "Max, one time I turned on the TV and I heard Bobby Richardson, and I thought, if that's what a Christian is, that's not what I am." And I got down on my knees and I experienced a transformation. And God changed my life. And I called Bobby Richardson, and he was able to share that testimony with him. And Father, when I think of what you did, Bobby had never heard that. And sometimes you answered that man's prayer that you would use it in years, years, years later. Over 40 years later, he heard how you answered one of those prayers. And Father, we won't see all the answers to our prayers. We know some of them will happen after we're already with you. But God, help us. Help me, John, our families, our church body here we so love. Help us.